I'm basically a theorist. My education goes far into philosophy, on which I graduated in the field of logics. And I was also studying art history, and then theory of art as a postgraduate studies, and then cultural analysis as basically developing of tools of reading of artworks and pieces which belong to the production in cultural field. And that is what I'm occupied with the reading of objects produced by humans in general sense, in which I'm not distinguishing art objects separately from the objects of popular culture. I think that basically what contemporary education should be concerned with is more developing tools of reading and tools of debate, rather than developing of knowledge and dogmatic discourses or any kind of static discourse or preferred discipline. So in that sense, I would go for reading a theory in contemporary sense, as for example, is media theory, psychoanalysis, narratology, political studies and political reading, for the reason they are all offering possibilities to develop differently consistent states of reading, which are not necessarily excluding each other. And I do prefer reading the even art and popular culture from the present state to backwards to retroactively to the past. So in that sense, I think even the dogmatic philosophy is in a sense of idealistic philosophy and idealistic aesthetics is quite important, but only for the reasons of development of ideas which are still influencing the present state. And I can give an example. If we are trying to read in media theory the problem of ideology, it is quite plausible to speak about development of idea, of metaphor of Plato's cave to the present state and influence of the idea from philosophy to the development of Western culture. Yeah, I think that it's not a knowledge that as I've stated already, it's basically tools which are accepted, tools of reading. So it's something like being able to employ logics, theory of possible worlds, or ontology and the ways of reading the consistency of the world, up to media theory reading and political reading, and making a debate outside of that reading. So it's basically a capability to understand different discourses intersecting in each piece, being it produced by an artist or someone else. So I think that should be a competence. A competence should be in a sense of being able to develop a debate, even if not being interested in each of positions offered, because that's the only possibility to keep continuing the world of creativity and in any sense, being a theory of art. Not necessarily, because I think it's not necessarily different being thinking in the ways of production as an artist, or thinking in a way of production like in a sense of producing text, or even this interview. And it's not necessarily that they are different. So in a way that there are different extremes, that two extremes basically of each side. There is over theoretization and there is also overproduction in a sense of art. And on these two edges we can find using of art as an illustration to the text, which is an old-fashioned and dogmatic way of reading a theory itself, because theory should, I think, be concerned in deep reading rather than trying to use art as an illustration. And this dogmatic discourse was, for example, developed by an art history, first of all, because art history was using art as an illustration of a narrative of development, which was concerned with development of ideas of art, rather than art itself. And it was a dogmatic discourse. And from the other hand, there was also a kind of frustration of artists themselves, which tried to deny the collapse of idealistic philosophies and aesthetics. And they switched themselves to the theory precisely at the point where these idealistic philosophies were not working anymore in art itself. So those are two extremes in which we should, of course, be concerned in reading, because they're always present. They're always present in each piece and in each text. And reading them out is quite important, even from the artwork itself and from the text or speech. For me, it sounds like a quite new age if you say a theory is a medium. That would mean that if I think, you are getting my thoughts without being produced in any sense. So I'm not sure if it works like that, if my thoughts for themselves are influencing the state of affairs outside of my head. But basically, theory can be produced and materialized in any medium. So today we have a range of theories which are using performances like Teoria Coahoda, walking theory, Shuvakovich and his ex-students, which is basically a side of a theoretical philosophical approach from Lyceum. It was a school of philosophy in antique in which they were just speaking and walking. And the thoughts were shared orally and they were not written. And Peripatetic school basically was using that. So, and then we also have theories which are using TV as a medium, for example, or TV kind of performance, like Boris Groys in the Art Judgment Show, or we are having a radio broadcast as a theory. So a medium can be explored for a broadcast of thoughts, but as it can develop, and that's a problem of philosophy itself and the theory itself is, or philosophy, rather, to say, is hostile to ideology, and it tends to institutionalize itself, as art do. And I think that basically media, which is open for the discussion, is rather preferred for theory, or otherwise we can get wrong readings of, which happened, for example, with the Communist Manifesto. Yeah, I like that. I like that, and I think it's from the practice, especially from the practice of open source initiatives and a share of knowledge and share of information. I think it's, but it's, I think, it rather ethical issue than a concern of art or theory itself, or it is only a concern of those spheres of art and theory which are deeply engaged, but they do not touch the original meaning of art, just because they are sharing and broadcasting the idea. I would distinguish philosophy and theory for the reason that philosophy is orientated to itself, and theory is orientated to own self-destruction. Theory works only when it criticizes itself constantly. So the state of theory is a state of suspicion and a state of debate and a state of trying of a constant, basically reading out the paranoid system of itself, which was the reason why we started to use the word theory rather than philosophy. The word theory was used since French theorists tried to introduce an alternative to philosophy. Philosophy was not reading anything outside of own thoughts and own closed system or discourse. And theory was reading out, and it was collapsing, and it was self-denying. And the state of self-denial, of conspiracy, of constant paranoia, and trying to find something hidden is a state of theory, and that state is allowing us not to end up in the ideological consistency and totalitarianism of interpretation. Mm-hmm. So I hope it's... I would go for that definition, and I think art itself, as it was doing that previously to theory, was a trigger for developing of ways of thinking theories today are trying to develop that are doing so. So those theories we call theories today are basically doing what art was doing before. It is self-denying, and it is constantly criticizing itself. We can try to theoreticize this question, and I think it's the most... We can offer, for example, 5 solutions to the problem. One can be there are many funds that are not used and explored by artists or such institutions, and that are suddenly discovered, and that's the most conspirative scenario for developing of art. So that would mean basically that educational funds which are arriving through European Union or United Nations are suddenly being used for this. The second one, a solution to the problem might be that the reason for these type of projects can be also that there are certain aspects of fear developing in society that are trying to institutionalize thoughts and art which are basically working to the right in political sense, because everything that comes to the institution and education is necessarily being institutionalized and does not allow a debate. It should be. It is formed in a state of program. The third one might be that art public is disappearing, and it can also symptomize a certain fear of loss of public, and which would now try to arrive through the most primary organizations as educational institution is. Fourth might be that it came to the state of encryption in which it should try to develop itself through the series of lectures and broadcast itself to the simple public, school pupils also, which is also a terrible scenario. And we can also give one an optimistic in which, finally it happened that encrypted parts of thoughts and productions of humans, which are art and theory, came to the common reading. Mm. So a real theory in this sense can offer all of these plausible sets, but neither of them would show itself functioning, because probably they are all of them working at the same time, at a single place, in cultural production. As a theoretician, I'm kind of suspicious of any kind of possibility that there is any secret society or any secret existing on this planet, because at least Western civilization has become so vulgar in a certain rape of privacy and secrecy that I'm not sure that even there are secret societies existing on this planet. So they are not secret codes, and knowledge and theory, they are really accessible to everyone. They really are, because you can today... I was trying to think about this. I had a 5 axiom state of producing a theory today. You can do, first of all, research through the Google, and then you can arrive to Wikipedia and organize yourself. Then you can use a program called EndNote, which is organizing your bibliography. Then you can use EasyWriter to organize your thoughts, and then pressing a couple of more buttons, you're producing an essay which is simulating something that is an expert essay. It really works, and it really is looking like that. So I think today that research, which was before so complicated to be undertaken, it's really easy to be undertaken today. And There is no secrecy, because you can always use Trojan horse and crack someone's computer and get some materials, but everything is arriving anyhow in as open source kind of knowledge as Gutenberg Project. Or you have what you didn't have 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You have those books, you can read them. Yeah, but there is an indication which I have found. Hert Loving has told me that once. I was in Maastricht reading a lot of books and at Jan van Eyck Academy. And I was reading so many of books that at a certain point it was too much and I didn't know how to arrive to... The production was far bigger than my time and capacity as a reader. And then he told me, do not read a B production of theory. Read only A. And when I started to read, first to reduce on A level of theory, and I reduced it by the publisher and by having index or not having index and certain criteria which I found important, no matter who is writing, I believe to certain publishers, and no matter who is writing, I believe to the publisher if there is an index page, if there is a there are some references to other books, so it's not a fictional theory or anyhow. The problem of theory today, it's, as in art also, it's overproduction. And especially you can see it in art. For example, if you arrive to two different publishers, you're taking Taschen, which is a publisher for, housewives, representing art in really bad forms and wrong texts and... overly idealistic, without any bibliography, without any index pages. Or if you're taking Phaidon, on the other hand, which is simulating a designish elite type of art knowledge, then you're arriving to state of affairs in which a popular reading of art and something that is commercial theory of art on one hand, and you're arriving to elite theory, which is arriving in Bruce Mau design of style. In both of the cases, you're having objects you can read out. And you can see who is producing theory and why, and what is this theory coming for, and what is it selling, in a certain sense. And it's an idea, always. There's a theory, so I'm trying to adapt myself. So basically, if I'm with students, I'm really open and I'm trying to communicate. I'm positioning myself as a communicator. I'm asking more questions than I'm giving the answers, because I prefer to get thoughts previously than I'm trying to offer conclusions or any kinds of states of theory. And I'm... The credo I'm having is that even the wrong interpretation is better than no interpretation. So I was always trying with my students to get to any kind of reading using any kind of tools, political analysis, even trying to use media theory, psychoanalysis, any kind of even pathological ideas that could attempt to approach from a different perspective than one commonly often offered for the reading. Especially what I didn't like is to use dogmatic studies as art history itself, and I was trying to develop critical reading of theoretical texts, which is similar way of reading the art itself. So there is no difference from those two productions, and this was the way in which I was trying to approach, to read wrong reading and to read the art piece as also a way of reading something. And I think it's more like that. I'm not sure what else I was trying to do.
Is feedback okay?
I was working with DJs.
Yes, we also wanted to ask you with this about your project.
Your feedback was really nice. After one first lecture, was one person reacting, and after five lectures, there was more than 10 already, really open, not being concerned with their own previous ideas, but trying just to interact and imagine themselves as I don't know, a fascist trying to say something about that, and imagining oneself as being a feminist, and imagining oneself about being a fisherman who reads this, and you're just trying to develop more and more ways of reading to anticipate who would read which work, which way, and open up the ways of analysis, and then you would accept that as a legal attack on some discourses we decided we didn't like, or someone has decided. So I think it's more like playing a game. I was trying to explore the ways theory can go, a media theory. Basically, the concern I had was, as a theoretician, that I didn't like reading. I liked thinking, but I didn't like reading those really huge books, and I was trying to find ways that thoughts can go through for myself, basically, in other ways. So I was using first broadcastings, I was using video already in Maastricht, some performances before, and then I arrived to the total production of events, in which I'm not only speaking, but at the same time things are happening, like working with DJ, and the sounds go in the background, or even speeches, and the videos go through, and the thoughts are sampled, and it's really nice that some thoughts can be sampled, and then they can be repeated if they are so important to be memorized, and it shortens up the time in which older generations were using for reading a book, because this is really speedy time, and I think that it's really heavy to read Hegel today, for example. Yeah, it's time consuming. And I do not read myself books without index, because I really like to choose from the index which parts I would like to read. And I don't remember when I have read the whole book. I'm reading chapters, parts, and I'm just eating those small pieces and then coming back and trying to read out. And that's more like trying to solve the problem in which theory should adapt itself to the generations which have grown on quick editing in video, to the generations in which informations are really going quick and fast, and those ways of academic preaching and teaching, like ex cathedra, they seem to me like listening a Catholic mass, which is really long and exhausting, and I don't understand the word. Mm-hmm. And that's a way of adapting theory to the media
and to the time frame.
Of course, to its own time. Yeah. It should survive or it should die, I think. So I think that the competence is basically depending on the set in which things are happening. It means that a teacher in a village has a competence to talk about any subject which is no one else knows about. Even he is not competent in that sense to teach on the academic symposium. So there is no hierarchy between competences, because the importance of such a teacher in a village can even be much bigger than of a philosopher on the symposium. So it has a place. And it has the impact, and the impact is what counts for the ideas and theory. A debate is what counts. I think that commerce doesn't have so much to do with it, but the field of competence is maybe something that before we were using terms of skill and craft for art, and this competence arrives for... It sounds really... I don't like it.
Is it measurable?
It sounds elite and sounds... The word itself sounds elite and... it doesn't apply to skills and products which are really measurable. It should be... If there is a market of anything in that sense, I think this market of art and theory, it's self-referent and building up prices in by its own dynamics. It's not a real market. In a sense that you can buy the products in mass production, which are whatever we call. There is no McDonald's in art, and there is no such an imperialism. So there's a completely different state of affairs, and I don't like it because the term itself, because it refers to certain kind of elite, and it sounds like an attempt to build up own price by a vague definition, which is not existing. It's competent for what? I'm not sure for that. No, competence can arrive, for example, if even in the world outside of art and theory, that a doctor is more competent to speak about your health than a seller in a market. But it can also happen the doctor is not competent for that part, and by some accident this seller knows something by some other ways, being it intuition or some kind of knowledge from village knowledge, kind of shamanism, that it can help to you. So it depends on the context. And there is no general, if we are arriving to the terms of generally speaking and any kinds of parameters in which we are measuring, it indicates something really fascistic in which we are privileging certain people for some reasons which are not may not be surely applicable to the situation. And what we know, at least from the history, is that there is often a surprise, and this surprise is not possible if you're using the term of competence. It sounds like having a certain diploma, but so what? So what? In Russian avant-garde, at least today, it's really a field of a huge debate, because it happened that it's a that's a debate. I think that today it's a cornerstone of debate, Russian avant-garde, and what happened to it in this commercial sense, which it was institutionalized on the West through the systems which theorists from the Eastern Europe are tending to recognize, just because they are having incompetence in the sphere of Western theory, and they can read out what really happened in commercial sense and the institutionalization of this avant-garde inside our history, which was basically a theft of history. and I think it's and on the other hand, there is a bunch of artists that are referring to the points of Russian avant-garde since the 80s in retro avant-garde, like Irving, Tanya Ostojic, then some commercial artists in USA, I don't know, and that's, they're also American minimalism and so on. And I think the debate is really alive, especially since Brenner, I would say from since the day that he has attacked a painting, which was, by the way, also a legitimate way of reading. And yeah, it comes, everything comes like at a point where there is a collapse, a clash of cultures. I don't know, I'm sure. You know, it was a sentence from Hakim Bey, who is really popular and kind of kitschy anarchist writer, and he said that a new theorist would arrive from the Eastern Europe, something like that. And it really happened, because the critical awareness of theory and theoretical production in the Eastern Europe is far bigger than the institutionalized left critique which happened on the West. And what Eastern European theorists are doing today, it's really breaking. Like you're having Boris Groys, who is really shocking constantly with his really extreme interpretations. And you're having really radical theorists in this Eastern Bloc, like which are working with Irving, has collected them in the project. And something like that doesn't happen on the West, because what happened is that after the collapse of left chic theory or left interpretation, which was basically underlining the theoretical production in the after 68, I think. I wasn't born, but I assume it was something like that, is that supervision of left critique, which was institutionalized, has collapsed with the collapse of Eastern Bloc. And what happened within Eastern Bloc was a critique, a continuous critique of what happened to the Western institutions of art since those two blocs were together. So in the absence of history of participation of Eastern Europe in Western discourse, which is the period of modern to the fall of Berlin Wall, in this time something really strange has happened to art itself, and you can read it through art theoretical and art historical texts. Like, for example, what Brenner has saw, and we are really shocked, was a market price of Malevich's piece written in a museum, which is a real offense to all the ideas of modern. And the second one, the Malevich, which was anti-museum orientated, was exhibited in such a context. And the third, Malevich's work was having prizes, and we know what happened to Malevich himself. So if we go through, we know that utopia of art as uncommercial has persisted basically in the Eastern Europe, not in the Western world. And belief in art has persisted basically in Eastern Europe. And with the collapse of those two worlds, I think that today's production of art and theory is uncontaminated, I would say, in the Eastern Europe, while on the West it has just replaced sacred copy aesthetics for the sacred copyright and commercial values, which are arriving even through theoretical texts, art historical texts, and so on. We can take an example. I was offering it to my students. I took a classical art historical reading of 20th century, Arneson. If you're closely reading from the state in Eastern Europe, then you read out how the market was developing through the text on what is a story of art. You are reading out the ways that some artists were institutionalized and that art history was serving a market and the theory itself also. So, for example, you can arrive to the question, what does it mean if you're reading a historical book stating the first abstraction ever was Kandinsky? In another one, you're reading the first abstraction ever was Malevich. You can debate which one was before. But actually, debate is not between who is the first, because it was not a race in 100 meters. But why someone wants to say something was the first if it's not a sport game? If you don't know who was running, and it might have been that there is some other person who has done it 20 or 100 years ago, but if this painting would arrive today to the art market, I'm sure it would be destroyed because it would collapse the prices. And that's something we know, that the institutionalization of art has came too. Because today the prices of some of those pieces can pay off the debts of all the countries. The national debts are basically can be translated in values of collections of art. And it was not oil or gold that was building up so quick prices on the market in the 20th century. It was art. And the investment in art was the most payable. We can read that through the text, and we can read that through the theory. And even the left, dogmatic left discourse on the West, not on the East, was still underlining such a production, because they had market prices and they were relying on the capitalist market while speaking about communism. So I think the most radical critique still is from those countries in which utopia of uncommercial art still exists. Otherwise, if you are speaking about art in terms of which those books, commercial books on art are talking about art, I'm not interested in it. I'm really not interested in pieces under which someone has wrote a price tag. I'm not interested. I feel sick of Klimt, and I felt sick when I was studying, because it's really monstrous. It's monstrous that you can, that for such a small money you can buy this Klimt, and it has become an institution of adolescency, and it comes to the market production in which it was overly explored. I think that Mona Lisa is a prostitute of art, not a painting. It's a whore. And in that sense, I think that there are really nice foods and artists in Eastern Europe.